We have been looking at the concept of finding God's will for your life, and this has been adapted from a little book, Guidance and Wisdom, by J.I. Packer. In our last two studies, we have been looking at Roman numeral 1, God is our guide. Point A, God can and does guide. Point B, what do we do when we're seeking divine guidance? We saw several things. Believers often seek God's guidance in the wrong way, looking for some flash of feeling, some impulse of thought. And if it dawned on my heart, why, that must be God. The common mistake in terminology, whereas following God's will or the leading of the Holy Spirit is connected with turning away from sin and following the Bible. It's turned into a kind of a charismatic thinking that it's some impulse. Don't trust your impulses. Two features of the vocational choices. We were talking about this, that when you have a decision to make, what school to go to, who to marry, all these different things, what business to get into, these are vocational choices. And you use your rational mind with a rational understanding of the Word of God. And you just make your choice. People say, what if you make the wrong choice? Well, then you change it later. You know, that's the way it works. This is the thing. So you keep from doing the wrong thing. That's the will of God. But you just make your choice based on the best information you have. Two mistakes often made. We were talking about this, the idea of listening to people who say this is God has shown me and all this type of thing. Correcting mistake, the two points here, the fundamental method of finding God's guidance uses rational understanding and a rational application of His Word so that God honoring guidance comes from honoring His Holy Scriptures. Do the right thing with whatever you have to do. And at the end of that, you'll be in God's will. 6 was the basic form of divine guidance. 7, the limits of inward guidance. Inward guidance, this impulse of the heart, severe limitations here. You don't know if that's the Holy Spirit or if it's demonic influence or if it's just how you feel at the moment. Don't blame all that on God. So we come to point C tonight. Failing to obtain guidance. If you say, I'm just going to not seek any guidance, there are 6 pitfalls. 1, unwillingness to think. God puts a premium on the believer using his mind. He gives us the Word of God to read, to think about, to understand. Listen to these verses. Deuteronomy 4:38. Know ye therefore and consider it in thine heart. I said, dwell on it. Think about it. See? That the Lord, He is God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Deuteronomy 8:5. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Whatever the principle is that he's talking about, he says, I want you to think about that. Deuteronomy 32:7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations, the Hebrew, the years of generation and generation. Ask thy father, he will show thee, thy elders, they will tell thee. This is analyzing the history, seeing the pattern of testimonies. In Deuteronomy 32:29, oh, that they were wise, God laments, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. So the idea of being wise and understanding here, we're going to refer to this in the next point as well. Number 2, the unwillingness to think ahead. We don't know the future, but we can analyze the future. We do that all the time. We live in a present that is so fleeting that we can't even identify when now is now. So we take the past and use it to analyze, anticipate the future. So if you're unwilling to think ahead, then you're just going to step off the cliff. You're going to step into traffic. Again, look at Deuteronomy 32:29. Oh, that they were wise, they understood this, and that what? They would consider their latter end. Consider the end of where you're going, see? He doesn't say wait for an impulse about this. He says consider it. Then there is, number three, the unwillingness, pitfall here, unwillingness to take advice. We ought to be seeking advice, not refusing advice. Pastor Porter had brought this up with some of his messages on Proverbs, that there is an arrogance, a know-it-all arrogance that says, I don't need anybody to tell me anything. The refusing of authority is based on ignorant arrogance, thinking you know enough. And whatever age you are, you don't know enough. See, that's the point. Arrogance says, I can do it. And you step in front of the steamroller, and the steamroller says, oh, no, you can't. Listen to Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, meaning the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Don't listen to false advice. Psalm 119:24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. What was counseling him? The testimonies from the scripture, you see? The stories of the patriarchs. They did right and they did wrong. When they did wrong, they paid for it. There were consequences. Let these be your counselors, the men of my counsel. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, that ignorant arrogance, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. People who have gone that way before. Proverbs 19:20, the command, hear counsel and receive instruction. To what end? That thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Proverbs 20, verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. I picture this as meaning, we might have to wait for Pastor Porter to get to this verse, but what I picture is that I go to somebody like Pastor Amiru and ask him counsel, and he has a deep well of wisdom in his heart. So I'm going to try to be a man of understanding and draw it out. See, you draw out from the well. So I think this is the command to me to be the one drawing out wisdom from a person of wisdom. Proverbs 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. You have a purpose, you have a desire, you have a thing you'd like to accomplish. You can establish it. You can fix a good foundation for it. By counsel, with good advice, make war, if that's your purpose. Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Literally, from the counsel of the soul, from the depth of his heart. So let us not bristle at advice, at counsel, but welcome it. I always welcome it, whether I think it's wise counsel or not. I don't want to come across as someone who doesn't want to listen to counsel. There's a number of times when older men than I have given me counsel that I happen to know was not according to the Word of God. But I thank them for their desire to share with me their wisdom, because I'd like to encourage that in them, even if I would like to change what they consider to be wisdom. Number four, unwillingness to suspect one's heart. You know, you listen to the TV stories, follow your heart, then you know it's the right way. Follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart, you want to follow that? It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? See, the thing is, it will give you a desire. It will prompt you to do something. But do you know why? No, you don't. Because that is deceitful. It's that deceitful thing inside you that colors what you want to do with something that you ought to do. But what you want and what you ought are sometimes very different. How often are people excusing immoral activity because I fell in love? Thought this was interesting. Somebody named O.R. Barclay, a biologist and a theologian, wrote in the little magazine Guidance, "The joy and general sense of well-being that often, but not always, goes with being in love can easily silence conscience and inhibit critical thinking." How often people say they feel led to get married. And probably they will say the Lord has so clearly guided. When all they are really describing is a particularly novel state of endocrine balance, which makes them feel extremely sanguine and happy. Sanguine is palsy-wowsy type of thing. It's biology, not God. So learn to suspect your heart. My heart is dedicated to this thing. Yeah, but is it a good thing? See, you need to have a suspect on that. Doubt your heart. Number five, an unwillingness to discount personal magnetism. What does Dr. Packer mean by this? It means that sometimes the people who tell you what the will of God is for you have a great personal magnetism, and you just are overwhelmed with them. You are swayed by them. Be willing to discount personal magnetism. Be willing to question what that very winning personality says. Galatians 1:8, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." The "let him" here is a command in the subjunctive, a strange concept for us to grasp, but it means agree with God in this, that he is accursed. You let him be. You agree with this. An angel from heaven, he sounds like he could be pretty persuasive. He's all glowing and glorious and lofty and big white chicken wings. Not those dark bat wings, no, no. And he says, no, you have to discern what the truth is. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, he says, "Prove, put to the test all things. Hold fast that which is good." How do you know whether it was good or not? The Word of God. God is the only one who gets to say what is good and bad. So, you know, I grew up through a time of fundamentalism where all kinds of things were bad. Wire-rimmed glasses were bad. Girls getting their hair cut short was bad. Mini skirts were bad, and maxi skirts were bad. You know, could you show me a verse, please? You know, just any verse, half a verse. I'll take three words. No, it was standards set by men. That was where the Pharisees, the separatists, the fundamentalists of the day went off. But they just started making their own rules and counting it as important to Scripture. I've been in churches where if the man's hair touched his ears, he was a backslider. His spirit was judged by the length of his hair. There's something wrong with us, you see. Wrong thinking. The sixth pitfall to not looking for guidance is the unwillingness to wait. And you're familiar with the verses. I'll give you three. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. You say, but I feel like I have to do something. No, he says, be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He will arrange the circumstances through the authorities over you or something. He will show you his will. Psalm 37:34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way. Keep doing the next right thing. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. God has his own timing in these things. Proverbs 20:22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil. I'm not going to let that guy get away with this. I will recompense evil. He says, no. Wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. We don't have the authority to judge others. We don't have the power to judge others. God has both. Wait on the Lord. So, the concept here, six pitfalls of failing to obtain guidance. We want to get guidance, we just don't want to get it from our heart. And let that settle it all.